You see, in the physical, we feed ourselves really well in America. We have honed eating to a fine art. Did you know that there's actually competitive eating now? It's a sport. Competitive eating. Now, I know it's normal in Hawaii, but in other places, it is a competitive sport. But I was thinking, you know what we as Christians need to be known for? Not eating physically, but eating spiritually.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Yesterday, Pastor Wayne began a message entitled, Who is This Jesus?, where we learned that the world has a lot of crazy ideas who he was. Well, today we'll see that if we really want to know him, we need to know his word. In a moment, part two of a message entitled, Who is This Jesus? But first, we invite you to join us for a few minutes of worship from New Hope.
Hold it, feel my face.
Here now is Pastor Wayne with part two of the message, Who is this Jesus?
Do you remember when Jesus was in the temple? And remember when his parents left Jerusalem? Do you remember how old Jesus was? How old was he? 12 years old. And he was among these elders, long beards, these Pharisees, these high priests, you know. And here's this young kid, 12 years old. And the Bible said he was baffling them with his answers. I could just see them off to the side, long robes. Who's that punk kid? Hey, punk kid. And then they get enough courage. Hey, how old are you? Excuse me? Oh, how old are you? And Jesus baffles them with his answer. Jesus stands up and says, well, on my mother's side, I'm 12 years old. On my father's side, I am older than my mother, and I'm the same age as my father. You see, on my mother's side, I get hungry. But on my father's side, I am the bread of life. On my mother's side, I get thirsty. But on my father's side, I'm the water of life. You see, on my mother's side, I'm homeless. I have no place to lay my head and rest. I don't have much, but on my father's side, I own the cattle on 1,000 hills. On my mother's side, I will weep over a friend named Lazarus, but on my father's side, I am the resurrection and the life. On my mother's side, I will be stripped and I will be crucified, but on my father's side, I command a legion of angels. On my mother's side, my blood will drip down the cross. But on my father's side, that same blood will redeem mankind from their sins, and yours, sir. How many of you are glad for Jesus Christ? And boy, when he said that, they jumped back. They didn't know what to do. You've got to understand Christ, and then you begin to understand the Father. It's all in Christ. That's why it's so incredibly important for us to take the time as disciples to get to know Jesus. That's why Colossians 1:15 says he is the image of the invisible God. So I'm going to ask you a question. How are you going to know God? Not by religion. How are we going to know God? Not by rituals. How are we going to know God? We're going to know God through Jesus Christ. Well, how are we going to know Jesus Christ? Here it is. Are you ready? Number one, Jesus Christ will be measured and defined by God's word, not man's word. You're going to have a whole bunch of people trying to tell you who Jesus is. You're going to have the government saying, I'll tell you what moral is and what's immoral. By what's our law and what's not our law. You go by that. You're going to have people say, well, he's a fall guy. Someone else will say, he's a permission giver. Whatever. He loves everybody. And it's going to sound good, but you're going to have a warped view. Listen, Jesus will be defined by God's word right here, not by man's. Let God be revealed through the scriptures. Then you will have an accurate view, because remember, if your basic premise is off, everything in your life will be off. That's why you can have a wrong concept of God and be killing people and think you're right. Did you know that even the Nazis felt that they were right? They really believed what they were doing, even though they incinerated 6 million Jews. Did you know that there's a myth of the good Nazi? You know what that means? That means that they really felt that they were carrying out God's fulfillment of scriptures. Because you see, the Jews had crucified the Messiah. And then the Bible says that judgment will be upon your head and your children's head. They figured that they were God's tool in the hands of the Spirit to take care and fulfill scripture. take care of them. And they figured, since they're going to be doomed to death anyway, and this sounds gross, and it's Yad Vashem, or the Holocaust Museum in Jerusalem, they figured, let's just experiment on them and see how much pain they can tolerate, and just write this down here. What are we doing? We're doing medical experiments that will help science in the future. Can man's skin be used for anything? And they would do experiments on them. It was a horrible thing, but they really thought they were good. You see, the danger is, if we're not careful, we've got a misconstrued definition of God, it could turn us into monsters, and it has. So where do we get an accurate view of God? Right here. That's why it is so incredibly important for us to be a people of the Word. We came through Greece. In the north is Philippi, Thessalonica, and then down to Corinth. And right in the middle, there's an area called Berea. Now, Paul came through that area preaching the Word of God, telling people who Jesus is. Now, there's something that caused the Bereans to stand out. And let me tell you what it was. Let's read what it says here in Acts 17. They are actually recorded here in the book of Acts. They're talked about. Let's read it. Go. Now, these Bereans were more noble-minded than those in Thessalonica, for they received the word with much eagerness. Here it is, examining the scriptures daily to see whether these things were. So they would hear someone explain something and they would check it out. How often? They would examine the scriptures. How often? To see if it was true. Why? Because they knew that God would be defined from the Word of God, and everything they say has to check out here. That's why in America it's so dangerous. We have this misconception of God, because even though it doesn't match with the Bible, we still think it's God. No, no, no. We've got to be like the Bereans that examine the scriptures. How often? Would you write in your notes? That's why we around here pound the drum that we do devotions and journal. How often? Yeah, because there's so many weird definitions of Jesus going around. You've got to examine that daily to see if it's true. Because if you get a fractured definition in the foundation of your life of who God is, everything of your life goes funny. And for some people, it'll take them 40, 50 years before they straighten it out. And they go on a warped understanding of God. And it affects your behavior, mark my words. So that's why it's so important for us to be like the Bereans, to examine the scriptures daily. So do devotions and journal daily. You know what my desire is? Some people say, Wayne, what do you want your legacy to be when you leave New Hope? You know, when I die, when I'm 104, what do you want your legacy to be? Here it is. I want my legacy to be that somehow I've left behind the teaching that people should feed themselves. That if I and the people of New Hope, if we've learned to feed ourselves on the Word of God, rather than wait for the next word or the next big thing or the next preacher or the next this or the next that, if we learn to let the Holy Ghost become our teacher, I'll say, good. That's what I want. Because there's no greater teacher than the Holy Spirit revealing Jesus to you from the Word of God. And if you can catch that, it'll mean the world. Feed yourself. You see, in the physical, we feed ourselves really well in America. We have honed eating to a fine art. Did you know that there's actually competitive eating now? It's a sport. Competitive eating. Now, I know it's normal in Hawaii, but in other places, it is a competitive sport. If you go to Coney Island, every year they have a competitive eating contest. And this guy named Joey Chestnut is the world champion because they eat hot dogs. And in 10 minutes, you know how many hot dogs with the bun now Joey can eat in 10 minutes? Check this out. 68. 68 hot dogs with the bun he feeds his face. Is that gross or what? But it's big money now. He gets big money. Till now, listen to this, there is actually the National Eating Association. And it's so popular, it's gone beyond the U.S. There is now an International Federation of Eating. Significant prize money. You can even get contract endorsements for the winners. I'm sure you'll be endorsed by like Tums and Pepto-Bismol and Prilosec and those things, but isn't that amazing? But I was thinking, you know what we as Christians need to be known for? Not eating physically, but eating spiritually. My desire is that we have, now this sounds bad, but stay with me, that we have fat Christians when it comes to feeding themselves. You say, what are you talking about? Obesity. No. I use F-A-T as an acrostic, because the more you eat God's word, it turns you into fat Christians, or faithful, available, and teachable. The more you read God's word, it causes you to become faithful, available, and teachable. So do devotions and journal daily, because you'll begin to know Jesus, because he will be revealed through the scriptures. And by the way, when you're doing that and reading, pray before you read. And here it is, would you write down, ask Jesus to reveal himself to you, because he will. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you, because he wants to. In fact, John 7:16, would you read it with me? Go. If anyone is willing to do his will, he will know of the teaching whether or not it is of God. If anyone is what? Yeah, would you write down, be sure to keep an open heart. Ask Jesus to reveal himself to you, and he will. He will. It may be through an incident or an event or a circumstance, or it may be in the midst of a message. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, I never saw that before. And God will begin to reveal himself to you. But keep an open heart. Why do you need to have an open heart? Let's read John 14:21. Go. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him, and that word discloses, he's going to reveal himself to you. But what's the requirement? Did you hear it? He who has my commandments and teaches others. No. He who has my commandments and writes a song about it. No. He who has my commandments and puts it on the shelf in a picture frame. No. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Well, wait a minute. The American poll says 84% of America believe in God. Yeah. But he who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. Ooh, that whittles it down quite a bit, doesn't it, Lord? Mm-hmm. He who has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father. Why? Because I and the Father are one. He who has my commandments and keeps them. I have an open heart. I want to respond. I want to apply it. He it is who loves me. Well, that's how I show you I love you. Absolutely. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and disclose myself. I will begin to show you how I created you. I will begin to show you my plan for your life. And I will reveal myself to you. But you've got to be willing to be open and obey. And when you do, then revelation will take place. In fact, you can write this down. Revelation comes only to those who what? Obey. Obey. And when you ask God to reveal himself to you, because you really want to walk with him, then like me, you'll find that he's a savior, first of all. He's a healer. And when I'm stuck, he's my counselor. He's my baptizer. Gives me the Holy Spirit to give me power, the baptism in the Holy Spirit. He's my friend when I have none. When I've lost my spiritual GPS, he'll be my guide. When I feel forlorn, he's my comforter. And when I make errors and return to him, he's my forgiver. And when I beat myself up, He's my encourager. And I know that one day I'll see him again because he's my coming king. But not only that, he inspires me. And then he goes beyond that because sometimes he prods me. And he'll do that to you. He'll invigorate you, but then he'll challenge you because he knows there's more in there. He'll prompt you. And even at times he will convict you. But then he cheers you. And then he'll protect you. But then he exhorts, stirs you. He will embolden you. And how often he stands and applauds you. When you get to know him as he is, things begin to change. Some people say, but Wayne, why does are there so many do's and don'ts? I think, isn't he just a policeman to just police your life? Oh, no. If you know Jesus, you begin to understand. What do you mean? I don't know if you've ever gone to a laboratory where they're putting together microelectronics or optical equipment, even like a cell phone, they have to put together through microscopes because everything's so small. If you go into those labs where they're putting together microelectronics, you will find that they're all wearing smocks and gloves and even breathing masks, hair nets. Everything is sterile. Why? Because they know that if they put together a microelectronic piece of equipment and there's some dust in there or grime, it will ruin it. It has to be sterile, sanitary. And they put that together and seal it because it functions the best when it's sanitary. And in the same way, when God created you and me, he created us in a divinely sanitary way because God knew that we don't function well with sin in our life. Our families are destroyed when sin enters in. He didn't design us that way. He designed us to have a divine sense of sanitation. There's a precision. And so when God designs us that way, he says, now, and by the way, Wayne, sin will mess you up.
You mean you don't want me to sin?
No. I designed you to function the best without sin.
So you're going to punish me for my sin?
No, you will be punished by your sin.
Well, when I mess up,
I'll come to cleanse you if you'll return to me. But if you rationalize and you want to do it, there's nothing I can do because there's no sacrifice for unresolved sin. Because your greatest sin is not sin, it's unresolved sin.
Then what happens?
Then if you die, you'll live in eternity without me.
So you send people to hell? What kind of God are you?
No. God says, I don't send anyone to hell. I didn't create hell for people. I created hell for the devil, Lucifer, and his minions.
So what did you create for us?
In my Father's house, there are many mansions, and one has your name on it. So if you rejoice on anything, rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
You've just heard part two of a message entitled, Who is This Jesus? By Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Now for Pastor Wayne Cordero, this is Del Gibbs wishing you a great day in the Lord and aloha.